Luke 8. I'm going to talk today about receiving the word of the Lord, head and heart. Can we say head and heart today? And our faith and our religion and our Christian expression, it is head and heart. Many times it starts in the head, but it will find its way to the heart. In order to be a living faith and in order to be that which we read about in Scripture, that if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, there's that dynamic of objective truth and then internalizing it in the essence of who we are. And so the word goes to our head first, but it must find its way to the heart, our core, the essence of who we are, producing the effects of its intent. We know we're exhorted to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, what? Mind and strength. And so our heart is involved, our mind is involved, our strength is involved. There's a totality of contributing all that we are to the Lord. And there are conditions, though, for receiving revelation. And there are conditions where at other times the heavens feel as if they're brass. Are you familiar with that term and concept? Maybe sometimes you're praying and it feels as if there's a lid, or you feel as if the heavens are brass versus being open. And our minds and our hearts at times can seem dull and unresponsive. But yet there's nothing greater than hearing and receiving the word of the Lord or his revelation to our head and our hearts. And it does presuppose a certain level of communion with him. So the condition of our heart and the level of genuine hunger can enhance the reception of the word, the logos we read, plus the level of the spirit of revelation we receive, the quickening of a revelation. We read the logos, we read the scripture, but we're also looking toward the author of the scripture written by God. And there are times where what we're reading is quickened to our understanding, where the lights come on and it produces life, and it's not dead letter. It's gone beyond letter to spirit, and it produces something in us. And you walk away from that kind of grace encounter thinking, thank God for your word. Had I not read what you had written, I would not have received this deposit of grace in the name of truth. But again, in our humanity, we're all hot and cold at different times. We're human, we're flighty, we're inconsistent. But thank God we can rest upon his faithfulness, enduring love, which actually motivates us. But as a rule, we obviously want to set our heads and hearts in his direction. A receptive head and a hungry heart will serve us well. So Luke 8, let's go to verse 4. We'll pick up this story here. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow a seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Went on, it says, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I will speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Lord, we thank you for stories and even parables whereby we learn. We thank you for the practicality of how Jesus taught, and he would take just natural things to express the truth that he wanted to bring to bear. Lord, he made it easy for those that were hungry. Yet, Lord, there was a veil for those that were on the outside, the impure, that couldn't quite get the revelation or the intent. So we ask you today, open our hearts, open our eyes, that we may learn, receive, and grow. We pray in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Familiar passage here, this parable of Jesus. Verse 10 is absolutely loaded, where Jesus said to the disciples, he said, the knowledge, let's read this out loud together. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but the others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. Now, not seeing and not understanding, that is a little bit tragic, but how powerful is this? As Jesus was turning to his disciples, this is awesome. They're on the inside. They are looped in. He said, disciples, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. There's knowledge that makes up the kingdom of God. There's mystery in the kingdom of God. I love systematic theology in my library. I have multiple volumes of systematic theology. Love it. But there are it's hard to systematize mystery. Hello. Here, Jesus is saying, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God, it's been given to you. I'm opening your mind and your heart. I'm giving it to you because of your desire to be near me and your desire to learn. So knowledge and secrets. This we can refer to as revelation, the spirit of revelation. Remember when the Apostle Paul communicated and conveyed that powerful apostolic prayer he prayed over the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1:17, where he declared, quote, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. How many of you realize it takes God to comprehend God? It takes God to serve God. It takes God to worship God. All that we do in the name of God takes God to perform it. So he's the beginning, the in-between, and the end. Everything comes from him, through him, and back to him. That's why it seems as if there were those that were on the outside that those seeing couldn't understand, though hearing couldn't really comprehend. What was he saying? He's speaking, it appears, in riddles. But yet there was an opening of understanding to those that would draw near to him. And so Paul here is actually praying for the church. And so it's not understood that just because you're in the Lord, we're going to understand everything we need to understand. Therefore, Paul was burdened. I pray for the church at Ephesus. I am praying and asking God that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's a good practice just to pray that when you open your word. Lord, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Psalm 119. Grant me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so I'm not just going through the motions, as it were, but even that has a benefit. How many of you know going through the motions has a benefit? Getting up in the morning, going through the motions, that's always a good idea. You know, you may not feel squat, but it's just good to begin the day. Hello, there's still a benefit. But oh, that you would grant the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Why is that important? So that I might know you better. So that I might comprehend truth rightly. The spirit, capital S, the spirit of revelation. The Holy Spirit, whom we're told is the teacher. The spirit of truth, who will lead us into all truth and show us things to come. So, it is possible for the eyes of our understanding to be opened. It is possible for the eyes of our understanding to be opened. Understanding can be closed. Understanding can be opened. But we know that the disciples were cued in. They were dialed in because they were hungry enough to ask Jesus what the parable meant. they didn't just kind of glaze over, you know, like they're in a comatose. There he goes again, you know, telling one of those stories. I'm clueless, talking about seed and birds, you know, and thorns and choking and kind of smiling. Do you understand? Yeah. And in their heart, they're going, nah, you know. And so, but they cared enough. You know, master, teacher, explain, what does this mean? There was enough hunger there to approach the teacher, the master, and say, break it open for us. Therefore, the secrets of the knowledge of the kingdom were given to them and to those who would walk closely with Christ. It was given them. It was given to them. I want it given to me. How about you? I want it to be given to me. I want the eyes of my understanding to be illuminated. How about you? Paul went on to say in Ephesians 1:18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, etc., etc., etc. Enlightened heart. Why? In order to know. Not a dull heart, not a cold, an enlightened heart in order to know, in order to comprehend. The more we comprehend about God, the greater the capacity to love God, to worship God. The less understanding of God, the less ability. Remember Jesus and the woman at the well. You worship what you do not know. But I'm seeking worshipers that will worship in spirit and in truth. It's got to be based on truth. It's got to be based on that which is objective and real. And by the Spirit, He helps us in our service and in our worship. An enlightened heart in order to know. Y'all, that's when Christianity gets real fun. Real fun. When you hear the Word of God to your heart. It is absolutely amazing. It's transformative. It's life-changing. Genuine faith comes by what? Comes by hearing the Word of God to our heart, that strikes our heart, that is rooted, that revelatory sense of hearing. I've heard God in the Scriptures. I've heard the Spirit of God to my heart. Faith comes by hearing. I've told people many times that when we relocated years ago to Guam, that it required zero risk. Didn't know a soul, one-year-old daughter. It wasn't a risk. Why wasn't it a risk? Because we heard God so clearly. We heard the word of the Lord. It was settled. It was a done deal. And again, God's looking for this head and heart. Head and heart. What are the optimum conditions? A humble, receptive head and a hungry, hot heart. That is good soil. Back to the parable in Luke 8, verse 15 is loaded. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. So again, we see the condition of the heart is paramount. A noble and good heart. A noble and good heart. What does a noble and good heart do? Well, four things according to this text. Number one, a good heart and a noble heart hears. Secondly, it retains. Thirdly, it perseveres. Fourthly, it produces. So, a noble and good heart hears the word. It retains the word. And again, this isn't a given. You can hear something and not retain it. Paul told Timothy, guard the good deposit that you have received. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. If it's important, if it's valuable, guard it, protect it, rehearse it, take pains with it. So a good and noble heart hears the word, retains the word, perseveres in the word. In other words, I really want it to drop from head to heart. I want the word made flesh. I want to ponder, selah, muse. I want to muse on the word of the Lord. I want it not just in a fast way, pass by something God might want to say. I want to get the download. I want to make sure I milk it for all it's worth. And then when there's nothing else there, then move on. But I don't want to be hasty along the way. So there's a human side of the equation in our heart posturing here. Hearing, retaining, persevering, and then producing a crop 100-fold. So yes, life's worries, riches, and pleasures attempt to choke off the word. True. That's true. Yes, if there's no root, testing causes falling away. True. Certainly, we've seen plenty of that. Yes, the enemy tries to steal the word. True. I mean, that's, you know, the birds of the air. There was someone prayed for a couple of weeks ago, and a powerful encounter. And then the person got sick. Then the person had to go out of town. Then, you know, and I thought, you know, we've got no power over him getting sick, no power out of going out of town, no power on if or when he'll come back. But I tell you what, we've got much power in prayer. And in our faith, we can just bat away the birds of the air that would be hovering over that good seed. Amen. We do have power. God has given us an access whereby to change things. Hello? But a noble and good heart hears, retains, perseveres, produces. Let's look at two back-to-back examples that reflect our learning contrast. We'll back up a few chapters into Luke 1. Luke 1, verses 5 through 7. We'll go through these verses. Then an angel of the Lord, you're familiar with this, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, his wife Elizabeth, also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. You can continue. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord." You can continue. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am old. I'm an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you, and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the proper time." So, right here, head and heart. He didn't believe on either count. So, Zechariah, we see here, was a bit of a doubter, bit of a skeptic. But, of course, God was merciful in this situation and eventually opened his mouth after 9 months when the baby was born. Zechariah did name the baby John after the revelation, and Zechariah rejoiced in the singing of his song. But back to verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." So here, Zechariah asked the question, "How can I be sure?" Now, this was right after an angelic visitation. How many of you know if Gabriel came in due to standing in the presence of God, all the bells and whistles, all the drama surrounding that, that in of itself is going to give weight to whatever is about to proceed forth out of his mouth. I mean, the declaration would be awesome enough if there was another method, you know, that was chosen in the sovereignty of God. But here Gabriel himself comes. And the irony is that when the angel appeared to Zechariah, the angel declared to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah." This is in verse 13. "Do not be afraid. Your prayer," singular, "has been heard." Zechariah, don't be afraid. Not your prayers. Zechariah, don't be afraid. Your prayer. Singular. There was a specificity there. Your prayer has been heard. What does that infer? What prayer? What prayer? Well, obviously, Zechariah the priest had been praying that he and his wife Elizabeth might what? Might have a child. So here you've got this holy, powerful messenger of God that comes in and says, "Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard." So when Zechariah responds the way he did, in verse 18, how can I be sure of this? I love the response of the angel in the next verse, verse 19. How can I be sure of this? The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I mean, I can just imagine the drama. How can I don't know if there was any body language or not, but I mean, you catch kind of wonder, you know, if in the spirit the hands were on the hips, you know. I mean, first he has to tell him, look, be at peace, don't be afraid, your prayer's been answered, good news, you know. And then how can I, you know, how do I really know, you know. And then he just, how many of you know you can answer something without answering something? He didn't actually answer, you know, the question at the get-go. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I love that thunder roll. I mean, that says it all right there. Here again, Zechariah having an awesome vision to the degree that Gabriel had to earlier say, don't be afraid, because the text reads that he was startled and he was gripped with fear. It was all sensory with all the bells and whistles, all the glory and the drama someone might imagine. That fearful experience alone should have alerted him that God meant business. It was dramatic. It was dramatic. But our man Zechariah was a little dense and a little dull. How many of you ever found yourself before a little dense and a little dull before? I know I have. A little dense and a little dull. God is patient. God is kind. God is working with us. God goes the extra mile with us. And so he's not looking to be punitive here, but he certainly learned a lesson there. It's a little dense and a little dull, a little dense and a little. Even the disciples on the road to Emmaus, how slow are you to believe the prophets? It was just right there. These things have been done before your very eyes. Little dense and a little dull. Thank God there's time. Thank God he's working with us. Thank God the Holy Spirit is helping us. We sang this morning about how the grace of God is so free. It's so free. It's so available. We just say yes. The same thing with the spirit of revelation. We just say yes. We inquire. We're hungry. A little dense, a little dense in the head, a little dull in the heart. We can be the same, but God works with us. Another irony is that the angel said, I've been sent to you, Zechariah, to tell you the good news. I've been sent to you to tell you the good news. In other words, you prayed for it. I didn't pray for it. You prayed for it. I've been sent then, therefore, to deliver to you, Gabriel the messenger, sent from God. I've been sent to deliver the good news. You prayed for it. You did. And now I bring you the good news. You know, all throughout Scripture, in the Psalms, you will hear it read, something to the effect of, I cried out to the Lord, and he answered my prayer. In another place, and he answered me. In another rendering, and he answered my prayer. This was stated upwards of 15 to 17 times in the Psalms. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me. I lifted my voice to the Lord, and he heard my cry. You know, in other words, that's his good pleasure. So here the angel is saying, I came to you to bring you good news. I came because God has heard your prayer, that singular prayer that was on his heart. So Zechariah is standing before the glory of Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God after he's been praying for this very thing. I mean, you would have thought, using reason, that Zechariah would have jumped up and shouted, finally, yeah, finally, man, I have been in the gap. I have had my nose to the grindstone. I have been an intercessor's intercessor. Faith against faith, hope against hope. I have been believing, yes, there's a God in heaven. Yay! High five and all that, you know. And then there's Mary, on the other hand, who's not been praying to conceive. Zechariah was praying to have a child. Mary wasn't married. Didn't want to be pregnant. Didn't want it. She had not been praying to conceive. She certainly had not been praying to conceive the Christ child. Hello? I mean, you don't just wake up any old day and say, yeah, I think I'll I think I'll give birth to the Christ child today. That's what I'm going to do today. Put up my day timer, you know, get my schedule. Yeah, that's what we're going to. It wasn't in her brain. It had never entered her heart nor her head. She wasn't even married yet, unlike Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were. So let's drop down a few verses and compare, contrast this with Mary, who also receives a visitation from Gabriel in Luke 1, 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this could be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So Mary likewise was also startled and troubled by this powerful encounter. And when Gabriel decreed the plan of God for her and gave the word of the Lord to her, she said, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, she doesn't doubt that God can and will do it. She's inquiring how something like that can happen to a virgin. And so she asked how God will choose to do it. Zechariah, on the other hand, asked, "How can I be sure of this?" Do you see the difference? How can I be sure? How can I know? Versus, how will you go about doing that? See the difference. Mary wants to understand the science. Zechariah is challenging the actual notion, the word, and the mandate. Mary asks, "How will it be done?" Believing it will be done. Gabriel answers her that the Holy Spirit will come upon her and the power of the Most High will overshadow her. Mary's next response, which again identifies her heart, one is noble and good. In verse 38, she responds, quote, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have what?" As you have what? As you have what? As you have what? As you have said. As you have said. As you have said. As you have said. As you have spoken. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord, as you have said, as you have spoken, the decree of the Lord, as you, I don't even understand. How would you do it being a virgin? Be it done unto your servant, even as you have said. I just trust you. Remember Abraham and Isaac. I mean, Abraham offering his son. He just had a revelation right there on that mount that maybe God can raise the dead. You know, I know the nature of God. He said, "I'm going to be the father of many nations." So there's some things we understand. There's a lot that we don't. But what did God say? "May it be done to me as you have said." The word of the Lord, head and heart, head and heart. And after this encounter, as you'll remember, Mary then went down to visit her cousin Elizabeth in Judea, and upon her greeting John, the baby wept in Elizabeth's womb and was filled with the Holy Spirit. So Mary also believed what Gabriel had told her about her barren cousin conceiving in older age. And Elizabeth blessed Mary upon her arrival and said these powerful, powerful words to Mary. Listen, she said, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Can we say that out loud together? Go. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her would be accomplished. I mean, they're both looking at each other. They're cousins. They're just beholding miracle after miracle. I mean, Mary's looking at her cousin Elizabeth. "This shouldn't be able to happen to you. You're beyond childbearing years." And here you've got Elizabeth looking at her virgin unmarried cousin going, "Dear me, I mean, you know, what in the world have we stepped into?" But yet there's a blessing on the one that'll take what they've heard from God, take the word of God to be true. Blessed is she, blessed is he who believes what the Lord has said. I choose to believe. Y'all realize there's a choice. And as far as head and heart, do we realize we can set our head and set our heart? We can choose a noble heart. We can choose a good heart. We can choose by the grace of God. Don't want to be dense. Don't want to be dull. I choose the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your word. I choose the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your will and in the knowledge of your word. Just due to being hungry and having the wherewithal to ask. The disciples in the parable in Luke 8, they just simply asked after giving the parable of the sower, "Master, what does that mean?" I mean, it doesn't have to be a large huffing and puffing and striving, but unpack that for us. Like a professor or a teacher, any questions? And no one wants to be the goober to raise their hand. "You lost me 30 minutes ago." Teach, I want to understand. That's a humble posture. "Lord, I want to understand the mysteries. I want to be given the keys of knowledge to the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom. It's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of kings to search them out." There is a lot of revelation available to the seeking it out, to the hungry, to the inquiry, to the asking, seeking, and knocking. Well, I think that kind of gets old after a while. No, ask and keep on asking. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. It's like pressing, pressing, pressing. Remember Luke 18 about the widow that kept knocking on the door of the unrighteous judge? And because of her importunity, because of her persistence, the man who said, "I will not get up and give her anything she wants," said, "But because of her persistence, she's going to wear me out with her knocking. I will get up and I will give her whatever she wants. Whatever she wants. And will not the judge of all the earth do right to those who cry out unto him night and day?" Now, our God is not an unrighteous judge. It was just used as an example of persistence. That if it can happen in that context, how much more he who desires to give good things to his children, is he eager to open the door? He just merely wants the knock. Do you care enough to inquire? Do you care enough to knock? Do you want in to the mysteries? You see. So Mary also believed what Gabriel told her about her barren cousin conceiving in old age. And Elizabeth blessed her. Head and heart, head and heart. Hear, retain, persevere, produce. Some have never even heard. We need to get out there so they do. Some have heard, but have not really retained. It's fleeting, it's flighting. The birds of the air can easily take it because it's not really buried, you see. There are those that have retained, but maybe have not persevered. Have you persevered with those prophetic utterances spoken over you? Have we persevered over the written logos given to us as a gift from God? It will produce. It will produce if we do. Likewise, when we hear the word of the Lord to us, we too want to take pains with these things. And we can increase the frequency, I believe, of the word of the Lord coming our way by having a good and noble heart. When Jesus told this parable to his disciples in Luke 8, he qualified, he who has ears, what? Now, who in the hearing of that did not have physical ears? He who has ears, I mean, if you didn't, you wouldn't even be able to hear the charge. But he was talking about spiritually. He who has ears, spiritually speaking, let him hear. There were those that had ears but couldn't hear. Those that have sight but yet can't see. Why does God let some into the secrets and yet keep others out? He lets in those who won't in and keeps out those that are disinterested. It's an interesting thing. Therefore, those who have, even more will be given to them. Those who don't, even what they have will be taken away. Those seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not comprehend and understand. You see, let those who have ears, let them hear. I want to be a hearing Christian. I don't want to be the last to know. I want to know. The sons of Issachar knew the times, the signs of the times, and they could comprehend the times. They understood the prophetic seasons. They could discern where things were. How many of you know as a parent, you've got to discern where each child is? They're all uniquely different. You have to discern what's going on in the marketplace at your job. You have to discern what's going on in the nation. You have to discern what's going on in the world. What time are we in? What season are we in? We're not always in the same season. We're not in the 1500s where the challenge is works over faith. The just shall live by faith. That was attacked in Luther's day. But what truths are attacked in our day? What truths are under fire during our time? You see, what season are we in? I want to be a hearing Christian. And I tell you again, it is fun to hear the word of the Lord. It is fun to receive the secrets of God. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, the Scripture says. I want to be a hearing Christian. I want His revelation. I want His revelation to be commonplace. I remember when I heard the Lord back in 1983, you know, that's great. Chronicle that, journal that. But He's not going to stop speaking. He's the great communicator. We can't make Him speak, but we can position ourselves before Him. There can be an availability and a hunger and a right disposition. But oh, that it would be more commonplace. Remember the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, God said, I will tell you when you get to the mountain how to worship me. In other words, you can't have any, you know, predisposed idea. I'll tell you when you get there how I want you to worship me. So they couldn't plan it. And the planners just hate this. The underground house church in China, many times they don't announce the meeting. They'll say, pray this week and show up where God tells you. And it's amazing how you'll have hundreds show up in one place in a field under the cover of night. No website, no email. They just heard God because they had to. Because they had to. And I know that's a dramatic story. But even in the nitty-gritty minutia of life, you know, God wants to speak. My little sweet widow mother, she'll misplace, dear me, I mean, where are my keys? Well, Mom, where do you normally put your keys? Well, you know, where's those? Well, Mom, where do you normally put them? And she's so adorable. She said, I just asked Holy Spirit, and He told me right where they were. You know, and she doesn't have a husband. She's having to lean on the Lord like never before. She go, oh, what did I do with that form? I'll swat. She go, Holy Spirit, just tell me where it is. Just, that's all she has. The helper, the Holy Spirit. We can foo-foo that, but she finds it eventually. I'm like, put your keys right here. Put your right here, you know. In the practical. And again, people can laugh, but then when you get the reward of your ask, then who's laughing? I can't tell you how many times I've asked for a parking space. Oh, that's silly. No, no. All that's just so small. Everything's small to him. It's trivial. Well, I just think he likes the fact that we're in communication. We're just talking. We're just talking. Even though there may be stuff on the plate that we're asking about and asking for. I was with my mother-in-law after Thanksgiving. And she's an early riser and I'm an early riser. And I caught her just reading out loud Psalm 91. And she was just declaring over her day every verse of Psalm 91. I said, that's powerful. Liz would go, she does that every day. Every day. Love that. Precious. Giving God opportunity. Giving him an entrance into the daily grind. I want to be a hearing Christian. Want revelation to be commonplace. I want it to find an easy entrance into my head and heart. I want hearing God to be normative. I want to be a good candidate of any revelation God might want to send my way. The disciples asked the meaning of the mysteries of God. They cared enough to ask. They didn't have to. They could have just glossed over. I don't want to be the one idiot that, you know, they took the, Lord, speak. I mean, what? Obviously you're going somewhere with this. Are we open? Are we humble? Are we hungry to hear, retain, persevere, and produce? If so, God will help us and God will work with us. The word of the Lord, revelation. Jesus said, the secrets of the knowledge of the kingdom, they've been given to you. There'll always be those on the outside looking in. But the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom, y'all, this can be life and death stuff. The keys to the keys of knowledge, I'm giving them to you. George Washington Carver said, God, show me how the universe works. God says, a little big for you. Bring it down a little bit. All right, show me about a peanut. I can do that. And all the byproducts that that scientist in his lab produced from a peanut. Anyone shower with soap this morning? That was just one of a gazillion. Byproduct of a peanut, go figure. Show me how this works. Who's going to come up with the cure for cancer one day? God, show me how this works. Engineering students, math students, all of it is to glorify God. All truth is God's truth. Literature and poetry and the arts. Lord, show me how the universe works. Show me the secrets of my job. Show me how to unlock hearts, to have rapport with my department, with my co-workers, with my boss, with those I labor with. Show me the keys to their heart. In finances, Lord, what is your plan for my finances? Maybe in health. Lord, show me the key here. Show me the key. We could go on and on. We'll stop. Lord, we just thank you that also to us, you have chosen to give us the secrets, the knowledge, and the secrets of the kingdom. Lord, like the disciples, we want to ask. Lord, I thank you that when Mary merely inquired, I believe you'll do it, but how are you going to do it? She said, let it be done unto your servant, according to your word, according to what you've said. And then her cousin Elizabeth, who said, blessed is the one who has believed all that the Lord has said to them. We just put a fresh premium on the word of the Lord, the Logos, and also your revelation to our heart. And we ask you as a church for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and the knowledge of your word and in the knowledge of your ways. In Jesus' name.